Malachi. We will have one more Sunday looking at this. And I pray that it's been as beneficial to you as it has for me. There are sometimes I was actually encouraged by another pastor to do a minor prophet study. And there are sometimes I begin a study a little bit reluctantly. And this was one of those, but I praise the Lord for how his word continues to transform. And certainly that has been some things that he has done in my life through this book. But anyway, there is a video online of a group of children trick or treating. And I know there are lots of videos like this. This particular one, though, there's a house and they've got a video camera set up out front, probably their Ring doorbell or whatever it is. But they, apparently the family was not home, so they set out this huge, huge bowl of candy for the trick-or-treaters, heaping full, and it just had a little note that said, help yourself. And the video begins showing some trick-or-treaters coming up, and they see the bowl, they each take a candy, put it in their bag, and they go along. Well, then there's this group of four boys that come up, and they see this huge bowl of candy, and they take and they start dumping it into each one of their bags and just completely empty the bowl. And there it is, sitting there empty, and they leave. But the reason the video is online is because one of those boys then comes back, and he takes his entire bag of candy that he collected all night and dumps it back into the bowl. And I'm sure he's thinking, you know, they're going along, they're having fun, they're doing their trick-or-treat bit, whatever it is. And this one kid's going along with it. And then he sees what they do at this huge bowl, and he thinks, well, wait, now we've gone too far. And he comes back to rectify it. I don't know, maybe you've been part of a crowd, perhaps doing something that is selfish, maybe disruptive, maybe disrespectful, and then you, as part of that crowd, the crowd kind of takes it up a notch to the, even becoming malicious, unlawful, or destructive. And in that moment, you realize, wait, what? This has gone too far. This is enough. And you separate yourself from those people. There's another video online of a large group invading a small mom and pop store, stealing pretty much everything off the shelves of the store. And as the 80-year-old owner comes out to try to stop them, one of the men shove him and he push him over, basically like a rag doll. But it's in that moment, this is why the video is up there, it's in that moment that one of the crew stops and thinks, wait a minute, now we've gone too far. And he goes and helps this 80-year-old man. Now, God is not a helpless old man by any stretch, but Israel had been rejecting and disobeying his gracious word to them. They had been, in fact, we looked in weeks past, they had actually been stealing from God and his people. And we ended last time we were in Malachi seeing them even mock and revile his good name. They began insulting him, putting him down and basically saying, you know, God, you're worthless to us. There's no point in serving you. Well, it's in that moment. It's in that moment that we see a remnant, part of that group, take a step back and say, wait, what? Now we've gone too far. This is way beyond what I signed up for. Okay? And that's really what we find in verse 16. Let me read it to you again. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. And today's message is for those who fear the Lord. And that word fear actually means he's worthy of respect, and we're recognizing that. So that's our subject, those who fear the Lord. And it is for those who have perhaps, like these kids, like these robbers, it's for those who have found themselves on the bandwagon of complaining to God or about God. Maybe not to the degree of being a robber or anything like that, but it's for those of us who have perhaps found ourselves on that bandwagon of complaining to him or about him. It's for those of us who have perhaps got caught up in some of the ways of the world that dishonor God. It's for those who have wandered from God in an area of our life and then realized the selfishness, the futility, and really even the stupidity of what I've been doing. Our passage today is really, it is both an encouragement for those who rightly return to God, because that's what he wants. He wants us to return. So it's an encouragement for those who rightly return to respecting the Lord, but also by implication, it's a warning for those of us who don't. The last lesson that we looked at here in Malachi concerned God's beckon to Israel to return to me. Return to me, and I will return to you. This week's lesson is really all about those who did. It's all about those who did. Israel complained to God because he was not blessing them in their sin. Well, today we find actually five blessings that come to those who return to him. To return to him in respect for who he is. Those who fear the Lord is our subject. We're going to look at verses 16 through 18 in Malachi 3. And the very first blessing, for those who fear the Lord is they are heard by God. They are heard by God. Anyone here, your term of endearment for your spouse is honey? A couple of you, that's mine, okay? And rather than using her name, Janine, I often just refer to her as honey. I do it in public. There have been quite a few people that I've heard that use that term, but I've also been here at church, and I've found this interesting. Try it sometime, okay? Be here at church, whether it be at a potluck, and just say, honey. And you might be surprised at how many people don't respond, but your spouse does. They know you. They know the way you say it. They know your voice. Okay, parents who've had babies cry, and I've watched this happen. We're all, the adults are in one room, the kids are in another, and all of a sudden crying happens, and the parents all go, nope, not mine. Or, oh, that's mine, right? We know the voice of our children. We know when they cry out. Well, that is our God. He knows us. He knows his children, and he hears them when they speak. He hears them when they speak. In fact, the very first part of verse 16 says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. He knew his children's voice. And even as they're talking amongst themselves, and we don't know what they're talking about. But he knew that they were talking, and he was attentive. It says that they spoke to one another. We don't know what they said. Perhaps, wait, what? This has gone too far. Looking at what Israel had been involved in. And there were other, and there they were in agreement. And God heard it. In fact, in Matthew 18, 19, and 20, Jesus said again, I say to you that if two of you, you as my children, agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We, you and I, may be part of a remnant where the whole world is going contrary to God, where the majority of the church might begin, and they definitely have, began to abandon God, the truth of His Word, rejecting it, even mocking Him through the embracing of sinful things. And I want you to know that through, as a remnant that may be saying, wait, that's, we've gone too far now. Through all of the noise of the world, I want you to know that the instant that God's children cry out to Him, He will hear them. In fact, Psalm 34 verses 14 and 15, God there says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. Maybe we're in a situation right now where we've been going down a path that leads away from God. And I pray that you come to a point where you finally say, wait a minute, this is too, we've gone too far now. And you pray and you return to God, cry out to Him, because He will hear you. And in that, I want you to know too that by implication, while He does hear His children's cry, they are heard by God. I want you to know that by implication, He does not hear those who criticize Him. Those people that continue down that road will not be heard by Him. It's just noise. He's the God of the universe, the maker of everything, the maker of us. And we think we know better than Him in some area? No. Return to Him. Cry out to Him. He hears those who fear Him. But not only are those who fear the Lord heard by God, but secondly this morning, we learn right in our passage that they are remembered by God. They are remembered by God. The videos that I referenced earlier, there are mom and pop stores getting raided all over the place in our country right now. There are millions of trick-or-treaters taking candy from help-yourself bowls. But these two videos, they're posted. They're posted because they stood out as different. Someone wanted them to be remembered. You know, currently, we have books of history that contain the accounts of deeds that are both righteous and wicked. The Bible itself contains record of both. But I bring this up because there are books, scrolls, right now in God's possession that have segregated the righteous from the wicked. And while there will come a day when the remembrance of the wicked will be cut off from the earth, the remembrance of those who fear the Lord will not. Look at the second half of verse 16. It says, so a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. Now, I don't know if this particular book here in Malachi chapter 3, I don't know if this particular book is the book that we read about in Revelation. Okay? I don't know if this particular book is specific even to this event or not. But I want you to know too that just before mankind enters eternity, Revelation chapter 20 speaks of a few books in God's possession. And again, I don't know if this book is one of them or not, but it could be. It's very reasonable that it could be. For the books opened before God in Revelation chapter 20 condemn the wicked to the lake of fire and spare those written in the book of life. In fact, Revelation 20 puts it this way. Revelation 20:12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." And then verse 15 says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Is this book here in Malachi the book of life? I don't know. But what we do know is that those who fear the Lord and meditate on His name, meaning He, God, is at the forefront of our minds in everything that we do in life. We put Him first. Those people will be in a book of remembrance. And of course, by implication, He does not remember those who forget Him. Why should He? In fact, Psalm 34:16 says, "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." But for those of us who fear the Lord, for those of us who recognize Him for who He is, what He's done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, they're heard. They're remembered. And then thirdly, they are treasured by God. They are treasured by God. There's a story from years ago, and I think I've actually shared this story in another sermon some time ago, but there's a story from years ago about a wildfire driven by high winds that ripped through a rural community, causing people to literally run from their homes. They had barely enough time to escape and save their own lives. Well, after the fire passed through, rescue crews searched the community to look for casualties, and they found a woman lying in a ditch face down. And as they pulled her out, they not only discovered that she had been burned to death, but underneath in her arms was her newborn baby still alive. Now, there were probably many things in her home that she loved. Maybe some pets, maybe some possessions, but she treasured her child. It was her own. Verse 17 begins saying this. This is God speaking. "They shall be mine. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels." And that word jewel in verse 17 communicates God's treasuring, His treasuring of those who fear Him, because they are His most valuable possession. It literally means to shut up, to cover, to protect it, because it's something of value. Like the woman in the ditch, like we might put something of value to us in a safe or a treasure box. Now, this is spoken of in the future tense. For those who fear the Lord, we are currently diamonds in the rough, okay? Gold being refined, clay in the hand of the potter. But there will come a day when those who fear the Lord are perfected. In fact, our passage says that those who fear the Lord are His, and it is the Lord who will make them His jewels. And so for us who fear the Lord, we can, as Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can, as 1 Peter 2:9 says, or we are, as 1 Peter 2:9 says, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Nonetheless, we need to know that those who fear the Lord, we are treasured by God. That is a blessing of stopping in our tracks if we're going the wrong way and returning to Him, fearing Him once again. We are treasured. Now, there are a lot of things that in this world that God loves. He loves the world. He loves the people He created. He gave His Son as a demonstration of that. He desires that all would trust in Him. But those who fear the Lord, those of us who have placed our full weight of faith in Him, we're treasured. We're treasured by Him. We are and will be His jewels. And again, by implication, for those that are going down that path and refuse to turn around, that path of wickedness and refuse to turn around, by implication, the Lord does not treasure those who devalue Him. He's not going to force anyone to trust in Him, to respect Him, to love Him in return. That is on you. In fact, John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 make this clear distinction. It said, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then he continues, says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light." If we're on that path in darkness, now is the time to turn around. Even for those of us that are believers, now is the time to turn around. Because those who fear the Lord, they're heard by God. They're remembered by God. They're treasured by God. Fourthly, they are spared by God. Now, I just read John 3, 17 through 19, which speaks of those who fear the Lord and those who don't. Those who do are spared from condemnation. Those who don't are not. Well, that is what we find here in Malachi as well. Look at verse 17. "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." And we have that father-son relationship, that picture painted right here. And that word serve speaks less about a son who does work for his father, and more about the motive of doing said work. In fact, the word serve here is also translated worship. This is speaking of a son who has a healthy respect and honor for his worthy father. And by default, all humanity, as creations of God, are offspring. However, it is only those offspring who recognize their Father and trust and respect their Father for who He is that will be spared. In John 1, 12 and 13, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." In John 5, 24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." You see, there is a judgment coming. Again, God's not going to force anyone to love him as their father, but those that do will be spared from that judgment. Those that don't, won't. And again, by implication, he will not spare those who hate him. But for those who fear the Lord, those who meditate on his name, they are heard by God. When they come to that point, they realize I've gone too far, and they turn around, they cry out to him. They are heard by God. They are remembered by God. They are treasured by God. They are spared by God. And then lastly, this morning, they are enlightened by God. Now, there is no question that every person comes into this world with an inborn knowledge of right and wrong simply because they were created in God's image. It's called the conscience. However, because we are also born with a sin nature, into families who have a sin nature, families that sin, our consciences can become seared, calloused by sin. Our sin grows and our discernment of right and wrong becomes very tainted. But the fear of the Lord, it can change that. It will change that. I want you to imagine for a minute you are born into a family of thieves. And I'm giving you this illustration because this is something that's, well, almost literally going to happen for Israel, and that's who we're talking about here, all right? But I want you to imagine you were born into a family of thieves. That's what they do as their livelihood. That is the norm for you and your family. But then one day, as you're with your family robbing a house, a bolt of lightning, yes, indoors, strikes your brother dead. Another bolt of lightning strikes your sister dead. Another bolt of lightning strikes your mother dead. And instantly, the fear of the Lord is ignited in you. And you have a change of heart and mind, for you have just been enlightened that being a thief is wrong. Israel had examples like this throughout history. The plagues that God rained down upon Egypt. The fire rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah. An entire family in Israel swallowed up by the earth because of sin. 70 years in exile because of sin. And yet here they are, the end of the Old Testament, steeped in sin once again. Well, for this remnant, or I should say a remnant like them, yet future, for this remnant who said, this has gone too far, this remnant who has now come to fear the Lord, this coming future judgment is going to enlighten them. Okay, this coming judgment is the main subject of the book of Revelation. And the remnant that fears the Lord will be again enlightened about righteousness and wickedness. Look at verse 18 in Malachi 3. "Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." And here's the best part, for us anyway. Here's the best part for you and me, okay? While Israel as a nation may have had a remnant that feared the Lord, a small remnant throughout history, while they even today have a remnant that fears the Lord, while they will have a remnant that fears the Lord at this judgment, while they will be enlightened about right and wrong at this judgment. Reading all of this in Scripture can enlighten us right now. We don't have an excuse right now to not know. We're reading about it. We're reading all about it right here. We don't have to wait for fire to rain down or lightning to strike our neighbor. We can be enlightened right now and allow the potter to have his way with this vessel right now. And by implication, he does not enlighten those who suppress him. Those who suppress the truth, he doesn't enlighten. In fact, Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." He will enlighten those who choose to fear him, though, who choose to trust in him. We can right now change our path. We can return to God right now. Here's my encouragement. I guess really even my plea for you this morning. Fear the Lord and be blessed. Fear the Lord and be blessed. If you've never placed your faith in Christ for salvation, turn around right now. Do so right in the privacy of your own heart. If you have placed your faith in Christ for salvation, but you're traveling one of those roads away from him, turn around, return to God right now. We've seen five ways this morning that you and I can be blessed simply for respecting our Creator, loving him, the blessing of being heard. I love that Psalm 34, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've referenced it quite a bit this morning. It is right in tandem with what we're reading here in Malachi. But in Psalm 34, verses 14 and 15, he says there, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry." We have the blessing of being heard by our God. We have the blessing of being remembered. Revelation 1:27, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." We have the blessing of being treasured. God says, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels." The blessing of being spared. John 5:24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment." And of course, the blessing of being enlightened. Right now, you and I have the never in the history of the world has humanity had greater access to the Word of God than we do right now. We can be enlightened. We have no excuse whatsoever to not learn about who God is, who we are before God, and allow this to transform our lives, to complete us, to make us into the men and women that God wants us to be. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Don't wait for fire to rain down from heaven. You see, this lesson is really for those of us who have perhaps found themselves on the bandwagon of the world. Maybe the bandwagon of complaining to God or complaining about God. It's for those of us who have been caught up in the ways of the world. It's for those of us who have wandered away from God in an area of our life. But then we say, wait a minute. We stop. We realize the selfishness, the futility, and even the stupidity of what we have been doing, and we turn around. We return to God. It's both an encouragement, really, for those of us who rightly return to respecting the Lord, and by implication, a warning for those of us that don't. Trust and fear the Lord now. Return to Him. Father, thank you for this closing passage here in chapter 3 of Malachi. We look forward to what more you have to say to us in that final chapter. But Lord God, your desire is to bless us. You want to lavish your goodness upon us. And Father, I pray that if there are areas in our life where we are literally running away from that blessing, that we would turn around, that we would return to you, that we would revere you for who you are, for your goodness in our life, and especially now here for us in this day and age, looking back on that perfect demonstration of love in Jesus Christ, Lord, that we would recognize the extremes that you have gone to reconcile us to you, that we might have an eternal relationship with you. And in that, Lord, your word to us, that we can live that life, be corrected in those areas that we need to be corrected, but also transformed in those areas that you desire to mold us. Lord, thank you for our passage this morning, and I pray we would be among those who fear you, those who meditate on you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Craig.